gibberish, so just spit it out real plain. Don't use big educated words from your BS degree.
Welcome to the Dottie Kaufman Show, and happy 2013. The Dottie Kaufman Show airs on AM 1300 WIMO at 9 a.m. every weekday morning, and the Moral Nation Radio Network at moralradio.com at 4 o'clock in the afternoons, and also www.wimoradio.com. That means the Dottie Kaufman Show can be heard around the world, and that's where a lot of my guests come from, all around the world. I want to thank my sponsors of the Dottie Kaufman Show: the Stewart Clinic Chiropractic Center on May Street in Winder, Georgia. Dr. Matt Ryan will fix you right up. Backache, sore leg, or your pitching arm doesn't feel right? Go see Dr. Matt Ryan. Also, Twin Tigers Karate Academy in the Snowden Village, Winder, Georgia. Call Nick or Matt at 770-307-1761. Christian Karate does make a difference. So again, welcome to the Dottie Kaufman Show, where we are stirring things up. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the Dottie Kaufman Show, Deborah Cody, and happy 2013.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'll be saying happy 2013 for a long time, because I feel like it's going to be a really good year with some changes in it. Deborah Cody, you are an author, and right now I envy you because you're living in the southern parts of the United States, where it's not quite as cold as it is here in Georgia, but you live in Florida, correct?
Yes, and we're actually having a bit of a nippy night tonight. I think it's down to 55 right now in the Tampa area.
Yeah.
I'm a tennis player, so that gets a little, when you're wearing your little tennis skirt out in the early morning, I play in a couple of leagues. Woo! Yes, indeedy, it feels nippy.
And it affects your tennis, too, I imagine.
It does when you can't feel your hands. It definitely does.
Well, Deborah Cody, introduce yourself to my listeners. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I'm actually by trade an occupational therapist specializing in orthopedic hand injuries. I've done that for the past 34 years, and I'm still doing it today, but I started writing professionally about 10 years ago, just shy of 10 years ago now, and that was a total God thing. I was sitting in a dentist's office one day when my youngest chick was about to fly the coop, and I felt like it was something I was supposed to be doing. And at the time, I was still working as an OT, and that had been about 25 years at that point, and I was teaching piano lessons. I did that for 20 years, but it felt like I was missing something. So I was sitting in a dentist office praying about it, and I reached down and picked up a magazine and randomly flipped it open, and there was an ad for a writing contest. And this light bulb just popped on inside my head, and I said, oh, I remember as a child I used to want to write. That used to be one of my dreams. And so I thought, you know, could it be that is what I'm supposed to be doing now? And, you know, I got out of there, and I started getting more and more excited about it, and I was able to find a mentor and a friend of a friend who had had some publishing experience with Christian magazines, and that was really my goal in the beginning, just to have, I think my goal was to have 3 articles published, and that was it, and that was what I was hoping for. And so I prayed and met with her every single month for a year, and we would meet in our Barnes & Noble and have lattes and talk about how not to look like an amateur, and that's obviously the key to being published. And at that point, it was shocking to me that after that first year, largely because of her influence and her help, I had 10 articles published, and that just was amazing. And the following year, I landed a column in a local newspaper, and I still write that to this day. It's a monthly column called Grace Notes. It's kind of a slice of life humor thing, and it's been wonderful doing that. And then the following year, I kept writing articles, and now I've got I guess about 120 plus published internationally. And then the book idea kind of dropped into my lap, and so I started with the books, and now book number 12.
Well,
so I'm real excited about that.
Well, I can understand why you're excited. That is a very exciting thing to have 12 books. You mentioned that you're involved in doing a series, and this next book that's due to come out here shortly is part of that series.
Yes, it is. It all came about, I guess, about 5 years ago now. One of my very first books I wrote was called Mom Needs Chocolate. And as it came out, I would be invited to speak to a lot of different groups across the country, mostly moms groups and MOPs and women's groups. And I would keep hearing over and over kind of recurrent themes of issues that women were struggling with, namely stress and how to deal with anger issues and self-control and fear, the really deep fears that were really incapacitating women and paralyzing them. And so I went back to Barbara Books, a publisher that had been dealing with me on a few different types of projects, and I proposed the idea for, it's called Take on Life series. And so we started working on these books. And the first one was called Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And that came out about 3 years ago. And it's all about stress, of course. And it's kind of had a resurgence recently. And a lot of people are using it for Bible studies now. I have reflection questions at the end of each chapter in each of the books in this series so that they're good for personal use and Bible study groups. And I think they've just suddenly been discovered by Bible study groups. So we've had a big resurgence in Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And then the second book to come out was all about self-control, and that's called More Beauty, Less Beast. It's titled Transforming Your Inner Ogre. And then this third book that's coming out in a couple weeks is, of course, about fear, and it's called Fear, Faith, and a Fistful of Chocolate. And they're all written with a lot of humor, and that's intentional, because my goal was to try to disarm women who, at any time, sometimes you talk about spiritual things, sometimes you get women who get, you know, very nervous about that, and they don't want to do that, and they kind of throw up their defenses and their walls. So my goal is to try to sit down at the kitchen table with them and not go through the living room of their heart, but to go through the kitchen table of their heart,
right,
and to sit there and kick off our shoes and be comfortable with our lattes and, you know, get real.
Right.
And
right.
So I think humor is a really good way to do that. And once we get that warm and trusting relationship, then we can join hands and we can find the strength we need to wrestle those common enemies that drain us spiritually, physically, and emotionally.
Absolutely. And I love the idea of the kitchen table, because there's nothing like sharing a cup of coffee with a friend to put you at ease, make you comfortable. You are able just to share from your heart. I don't know. I always loved that. Stonecroft Ministries has a Bible study groups that have, they're called prayer coffees.
Yes, I've dealt with Stonecroft for a few years. I've spoken at a few of their programs. They're wonderful.
They are wonderful. I love that. And way back when, I haven't been there in a long time, but anyway, just the prayer coffee, you know, made it sound like, oh, that's so comfortable.
So
I'm glad. And humor is very important. It's important to all of us to laugh and enjoy ourselves and just have a good time. Take a deep breath.
Absolutely. I think laughter is like the best decompressor that there is. You know,
yes.
It really does. It takes all that worry and tenseness and all that anxiety, and it just kind of melts it away. So I think it's very important to get our laughter in every day.
Well, your new book, the new one that is coming out, it's almost here.
Almost.
Where did you get your in general, your idea for that?
Well, as I mentioned, I kept hearing about fear being such an issue for women, and I know it certainly has played a part in my life. And, you know, so I started, I mentioned too that I am an occupational therapist specializing in orthopedic injuries. So for the past 30 years, I've had experience with my paid job, my job, in that I deal a lot with people's anxieties and with their fears, because a lot of people who have injuries, they're facing a whole new life.
Right.
You know, some of them are debilitating, some of them are temporary, some of them are permanent. And, you know, they have a lot of fear related to that. So counseling has been kind of an unspoken part, it is for every therapist, of my job. And so it's been a lot of things that I have learned and I've studied, plus observations of how people deal with fear and how fear can be such a crippler. And so I took all that, and I wanted to find out what were the common fears that women seem to share. You know, I had my own ideas of what they were, but I really wanted to find out what the real issues were. So I did a really cool fear survey, and I collected data from 500 random women. I did it was a short and sweet survey, but I had them rank their top three fears in order of the importance to them. And I had listed 20 fears, and then I let them rank them, and then I had blanks so that they could fill in ones that weren't on their specific fears that weren't on the list. And I had that data analyzed, and it was very surprising to me how it turned out with the top 10 fears. Would you like me to share some of those with you?
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
It really was. I put them in categories of age. These were random women, 500 women from ages 18 to 80. And the very top fear for all age groups combined was more than doubled the number two fear. It was twice as many. And so it was a huge fear for women. Would you like to guess what that might have been?
Public speaking.
No, but I could identify with that one. No, it was losing a spouse, a parent, or a child. It was losing a loved one.
Ooh.
And that was by far the greatest fear in all three of the categories. And the categories were ages 18 to 29, and then ages 30 to 59, and then age 60 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two fear over all groups together was disease or illness, debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
And then three was fear of failure. What surprised me was that I thought that fear of loneliness would be way up there, like one or two. That was what I had anticipated seeing, and it was down in number six.
Wow, I would have thought that would have been my next choice would be the loneliness.
Yes, I would have thought so too. It had only 15% of the women had notated loneliness. And then tied for fourth and fifth place was old age or senility, and then number five was the unknown or the what ifs,
mm-hmm.
which for me, that would be pretty much my number one or number two. I have a real hard time with the what ifs. They keep me awake at night, and I like to invent what if such and such happened, or what if that happened, or you just kind of dig yourself a hole and bury yourself in the middle of the night with those. But it was very interesting to see the top 10, and
yes.
I noticed just a few trends in the results, in that fear of failure was more prevalent in the younger populations, which
yes.
was interesting.
I can understand that, because they're starting in their careers and they're thinking career-minded more so than the older generation. I never really thought career-minded in my younger days, so the fear of failure in that direction didn't exist, but fear of failure, I what else would it be if it wasn't career? Failure in as a mother or failure as a wife?
I guess just failure as a human being. You know, I've had women express to me that they felt that they had a wasted life. And that just breaks my heart when I hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it takes me back to this scene. Do you remember the movie Papillon? Steve McQueen starred in it years ago.
Oh, I remember. I don't know if I saw it or not.
Was in it at a very young age. Well, there was a scene in that movie that I remember it from probably 30 years ago when I first saw it. I think it was in the 70s, early 70s it came out. But I saw it again recently, and there's a scene in there that just haunts you once you see it about that very issue. And in it, Steve McQueen, who, in the course of the movie, it's based on a true story of a Frenchman who was falsely accused of a crime and ends up on French Guiana, and it's horrendous. Oh, I just can't. can't even imagine the deplorable conditions of this actual hellhole prison that he was in. And that of course, is Steve McQueen in the movie playing Papillon, which Papillon is French for butterfly, and that's, of course, symbolic of a lot of the freedom that he wished he had that he didn't, that he had to give up. So in this scene, he has a dream where he's standing before this very austere judge and jury, and he comes before them, and the judge stands up in his regal robes and points this horrible finger at him and says in this big, deep voice, "You have been accused of the worst crime in humanity." And so, you know, you pause and you think, well, yeah, he was accused of this thing he didn't do, but that wasn't what the judge meant. And he said, "A wasted life."
Oh.
And, you know, Steve McQueen stares at him with these haunted eyes, and he finally just shakes his head and says, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." And he turns away. And it just haunts you because you think, yes, I think we all somewhere down deep inside have a fear that we're wasting our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Them to count for something.
Yes, we do. We want to be remembered, and we want to have done something, left our mark somehow, accomplished something that we could say we accomplished something. And that I can see that. That's a fear, yeah.
So now I even cited that in my book in one of the chapters about different fears that we have. But what I try to do, my goal with the book is to learn how to find comfort and healing and power and peace throughout our struggles that often paralyze and debilitate us with these fears that prevent us from fulfilling Papa God's purpose for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spend a lot of the book talking about how to identify those fears, because that's the first step. Sometimes we just carry along without really realizing what's bothering us and why our behavior is a certain way based on fears maybe from childhood that we've never dealt with.
Right.
Or other times in our life that we just aren't aware of it. So I kind of, just with that in mind, I have five basic categories that I put fears into, that I group them. And just to make them simpler to remember, I start them all with the letter S. And the first is spurting fear, which would be a raw reactive emotion, just an impulsive reaction
right.
to a stimulus, kind of like, you know, blood spurting from a fresh wound, that sort of a thing. And an example of a spurting fear would be public speaking, or the profuse sweating and trembling and heart palpitations when you're confronting something like a snake, or you're trying to board an airplane and you're terrified of flying.
Right.
And then the second fear would be savory fear, which is that delicious thrill, you know, that we get when we're in a specific controlled type of event, like a fear within our safety zone, like roller coaster or going in House of Horrors, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a saturating fear, which is an invasive kind of fear that sometimes originates in childhood, and it permeates our lives in ways that we really don't often see. And that's kind of like a phobia that may be enmeshed within our personalities. And I talk about that quite a lot in the book. And that would be, an example would be maybe you see your neighbor's dog and you suddenly go into this irrational panic, and because maybe you were bitten as a child.
Ah.
Or you have this huge fear of abandonment that pervades your adult relationships because your father left your family when you were small.
Right.
That sort of thing is a saturating fear. And then the simmering fear is what really drives me batty. That's the fear of the unknown. That would be things that we've never experienced, but we have developed maybe an underlying dread for, based on other people's experience and our own speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the what ifs, or the fear of death, or maybe the fear of financial ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
some of us have experienced that.
Yes.
Or maybe are now.
Yes.
and then the last one of the five is the sovereign fear. And that would be the subjection that we willingly place ourselves under, born of respect to authorities such as, you know, our spouses, or for women, or our teachers or parents, or maybe even Papa God.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we can categorize the fears and we can kind of figure out what it is we're dealing with, then we can put a face to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we can then deal with it, and we can step up to those monsters, I call them fear monsters, that are lurking back there. Sometimes they have faces, sometimes they don't.
That's right. All of this is in your book, Deborah?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, now this book, the one that you were just talking about, give us the name again.
Fear, Faith, and a Fistful of Chocolate.
All right. That's not out yet, but when do you anticipate it out?
You can order them now, pre-order them online through Amazon or any of those stores. They will hit bookstores February 1st. They should be trickling into the bookstores probably the week before that. They often get there a little bit early. So they should be very soon.
Okay.
Within the next week or two, they'll start showing up.
Now, some of this fear that you've been talking about, It's interesting. I had a conversation with one of my precious daughters-in-law, and she was talking about something that happened as a child, when she was a child, and how afraid she was of going to school, didn't want to go to school. This went on for years, and never could figure out why. But what hit me, because I had some of that myself, but what hit me was that she had the forethought enough, she would go in the bathroom in her little school and cry and look at herself in the mirror and go, what am I crying about? I don't even know what I'm crying about, but I'm upset. I'm tied in knots. I'm afraid of something, but I don't even know what it is. And it just struck me when you were talking about some of these fears and how sometimes we don't know what it is we're afraid of. We can't identify it very well.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's one of the things we need to do to deal with them is to take a little while. I recommend this thing I call a he and me retreat, where we actually get away from the world. If you can do it for a few days, that's the best idea. And you take your Bible and your Bible dictionary and some study materials and a pad and a good pen or two and get away and, you know, deal with it with Papa God. Open yourself up. Immerse yourself in His Word and ask Him to show you some of the causes, some of these fears that you may not be aware of, and He does a wonderful job bringing them to the surface when you can, but you've got to turn off the world,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to turn down the volume on the cacophony around you and get where you can hear Him.
Boy, isn't that the truth? We really do. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I just want to hide, you know, for a while. I don't like being alone either. That's my fear, would be being totally alone. But I do like to come aside once in a while in a safe time, in a safe place, and do exactly what you said. Turn everything off. Just sit, breathe, take notes, pray, and God will show you, won't He?
Absolutely.
Well, I have enjoyed this, Deborah Cody, and it's COTY for those that want to go to a website and find out all about Deborah Cody and order her book. It has been absolutely fascinating, and I'm so glad to meet you.
Well, thank you so much, Dottie. It's certainly been my pleasure, and I would invite everyone, if they would like to, come to my website. It's DeborahCody.com, spelled DeboraCoty. My Deborah doesn't have an H on it. I think my mama was so, done up with the drugs. she had me. She forgot the H.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, and I have all of my books listed there and excerpts and some really good information that you can get on them. And
right.
I also love to come to speak at places. So if anyone would like a speaker for a special event, you can contact me through there as well.
All right, Deborah Cody, thank you so much for being on the Dottie Kaufman Show today.
Thank you, Dottie. You're a dear.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking with you again when your book comes out.
I appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dottie Kaufman Show. Listen each weekday at 9 a.m. on AM 1300 WIMO and also www.wimoradio.com and 4 p.m. on moralradio.com. Go to www.dottiekaufman.com for a complete guest schedule for more information. And follow my blog. That's the Dottie Kaufman Show, where we are stirring things up.